It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for June 9th. I'm Ben Johnson at the Moscone Center in San Francisco. Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference kicked off this week here in downtown San Francisco. And the keynote address had some surprises.
I bought this vintage Apple employee's jacket using a tool known in the rap world as the internet.
That's rap star Drake. He helped to deliver the biggest headline of the day, Apple Music. The company's long-awaited music streaming service includes a 24/7 radio station called Beats One and a way for artists to connect directly with fans. $10 a month with a $15 a month family plan. But this conference is really about software developers, the people who make stuff or want to make stuff that works with Apple. And those people were lined up in droves outside the Moscone Center in downtown San Francisco at 7 in the morning, long before new versions of the operating systems for computers, mobile devices, and the Apple Watch were announced. We checked in with some of the developers waiting to get in. What are you doing here?
I'm going to see what Apple's got up their sleeve. I'm trying to see what the future, you know, what directions they're taking.
Are you a developer?
I manage developers.
So what's your company?
The National Science Foundation.
Hi.
Hello.
What's your name?
Shamar Paul.
What are you doing here?
Mostly learning. I'm a software developer.
Okay, what's the company?
Keep. It's an e-commerce website, shopping and discovery, and you can basically shop from anywhere across the web and have one checkout experience.
Are you excited about shopping on the watch?
Well, we already built a shopping app for the watch, and so we're hoping just to make that better, improve the experience a little bit, and see what else comes out.
Good morning.
Morning.
Would you mind chatting with us just briefly?
Yeah.
Cool. What's your name?
Claire Harrison.
What are you doing here?
I'm a software developer. I've been working on the iPhone as a hobby for a while. And I've just landed a job at a financial institution, a bank up in Canada, doing the mobile development there. So they're paying for me to come down here and learn.
How will you decide whether or not this is a successful trip for you?
For me personally, just being down here is successful. You know, getting it all firsthand. I mean, I watch all the videos usually, but I think it's so much cooler to be able to be here with everyone else. So as long as I come back with some new ideas, get some new inspiration, get some new things to try out, there goes my summer.
You heard there from Adrian Sullivan, IT specialist at the National Science Foundation, Shamara Paul, a software engineer for the shopping site Keep, and Claire Harrison, a mobile web developer for ATB Financial. Marketplace Tech is a nonprofit, listener-supported service. To keep our coverage strong and relevant, think about making a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount, counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. You can donate at marketplace.org by June 30th. This month, the first video games were inducted into the World Video Game Hall of Fame. Which games are in the inaugural class? Well, there's Pac-Man, Pong, Super Mario Brothers, World of Warcraft, and a game that terrified me when I first started playing, Doom. That last one made a big impression on me as a young video game player. Turns out I'm not alone, and there are some pretty unique reasons for Doom being included on this list. Jean-Paul Dyson is director of the International Center for the History of Electronic Games at the Strong National Museum of Play. The other day, we called him up to talk about Doom.
All of these are great games, but I think one thing about Doom is it had a huge impact not only on the world of video games, but I think in the broader ways that we look at and use computers.
Can we describe it just a little bit? Will you describe like what you're seeing if you're playing the game for those who don't know?
Basically, you're seeing this world as if you're the player in the world. And so these monsters from this space base are coming at you and you're shooting them and trying to survive. And it's a fast-paced game. Things are always happening. Things are jumping out. It was just pure adrenaline. But Doom had a number of big effects.
Tell me more. Why?
Well, a couple of things. One is this idea of digital distribution. It wasn't the first game to be distributed in such a way that you bought a little bit of it or you got a little bit of it free and then bought the rest. But it was really the game that took advantage of the nascent internet to make that practice common, which now is the main business model for many games today.
If you're looking at the history of freemium,
you could go back to Doom. I remember this now as you're describing it. You would get like the first two levels free.
Exactly. You get the first episode free. And so that would hook people on there. So I think that's one key factor with Doom. But there's another one I think is really important. If you look at a lot of the other great games like Pong or Pac-Man or Super Mario Brothers, Tetris, they're all great games, but you play the game. And what Doom did was by having something called a game engine that the creators put into this, they allowed users to modify the game and then to create game worlds, rules of play that might change the game experience even while the basic game would function. And so in a sense, they allowed users to hack the game. I think it's really key in giving people this sense of power that I'm not merely just playing a game. I'm playing with maybe another way of looking at it, playing with a toy.
It allowed for creativity.
It really did. And so it really introduces people this idea of they are empowered creators, makers, when they're using digital products, not merely just consumers.
All right, which game would you put into the World Video Game Hall of Fame and why? Post your entry at facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.